Yes, people, what is going on? How have you been? It's me, Griff, obviously. Do you remember who I am? You probably don't. This is episode 359 of Griff's Brain Dump. I don't think I can ever claim that I haven't missed a week now. This was ridiculous. I didn't realise I hadn't recorded for what would have been coming up to 3 weeks. 3 weeks. I hadn't realised that. Look, I've been busy. So busy that I've now downloaded Football Manager. That has no correlation to the delays in podding. I only downloaded Football Manager just before my trips to Manchester this weekend, just gone. If I'm going to be on train, don't usually take the train. But I've made a rule for myself that any car journey over 3 hours, I'm not driving anymore. It's just, it's killer. Unless it's one of those but fuck nowhere gigs where it's just, you know, it's just rural and, you know, everyone's related to each other. People's got the odd number of fingers and toes. That's, though, if I'm gigging those places, I will drive because I will need to get out of there. But Manchester, big city like that, no, train. Taking the train and it's just it's so much easier just to relax. Oh, cool. Chill out a bit. So, that's why I've got to plan my trip to Brighton then next month. See how that works out. Because, I'll be staying there. Anyway, how you doing? Like I said, last spoke to you guys on the 20th. So, what have I done since? I'm literally looking through my diary to see what I've done since then. So, since the 20th of March, I had a dental checkup. 6 minutes that dental checkup took. Teeth were sorted, they're fine. So that was a record for me. Then did it at a private school. I think, did I mention that? I don't even know what I mentioned in the last pod. Did it at a private school. Then got my hair cut. Haircut in my local, I've got a local barber in my town. I think he's my guy. Because I'm not moving from this town for a while, it seems. So this is my guy. This is where I get my haircut. They're on Booksy, which is my like kind of mark of quality. If someone's on Booksy, that's a big mark of quality for me. Booksy is an online booking platform. I'm too old. I'm too old to be sat in the barber shop all day. I'm too old to be sat in the barber shop all day and have the barber watching me eating his lunch. I'm too old to be sat in the barber shop all day watching the barber eat his lunch and then being told, sorry, I'm going to cut my man who just walked in. Too old for that shit. Can't cope with it anymore. So, you know, I'm over that. Completely over it. And I need a reliable booking system and I need an appointment time. And I need to be able to get into that appointment within 20 minutes of that appointment time. Yeah? I don't mind if the appointment overruns. I don't mind running a bit late, but I cannot be sat there all day. So that's one of the criteria. So I've got a barber near home and I've got a barber near work. Yes, obviously I'm not loyal to one barber. I never will be. Okay? But this guy I've seen twice in a row now. Maybe three times. Three times in a row. That's a level of commitment to a barber. Uninterrupted. No other barbers in between. That's a commitment for me. Like I said, I deserve no hairline. This behaviour, I know I don't, but that's where I am. They took the kids to the dentist by myself. That was an experience, taking the kids to the dentist by myself, but it's absolute nonsense. They can't just look to Tickle, do you brush them twice a day? I said yes. He goes, yeah, just ensure you brush them twice a day. I said I did, so could we add something more? He goes, no, teeth look healthy. Essentially, they just counted teeth. That was it. But it was all good. Then, it was my brother's birthday. A lot of you pod listeners, you know this guy. Big one. The big brother. So I've got an older brother and I've got a big brother. I've got an older brother called Paul. And I've got a big brother, and that's David. The Wham one. It was his birthday. We went to Gravity. There's like go-karting, arcades, mini-golf and stuff. And I did the go-karting. What I've realised about me with go-karting, I just need to understand the rules of go-karting. What I'm good at, I'm good. This kind of sounds stupid. I'm very good at racing. I'm not very fast. Does it make any sense? Put it like this. So I was racing, finished third in the race, but that didn't matter because what it was assessed on is who had the fastest lap. And out of six people, I had the fifth fastest lap. Six people, fifth fastest lap. So I came fifth on the scoreboard, but I came third in the race. I overtook three people. I started at the back and overtook three people. I got third. To me, that's what it's about. It's a race. You know, I guess what they're claiming is it's not actually racing conditions because the track's too short, don't have enough laps. But I'm like, that's how good I am at racing. I'm that good at racing. Give me eight laps around there, I'm going to overtake someone. I'm a bad man. That's what it is. So that was that. And what else happened at that event? End up, didn't go with the kids. Xavier was ill. Naomi got ill. So I went, kids free. Hands free. Guess what I ended up doing while I was at this thing? Holding a child. Holding a child. It's funny how like the world is, right? Because the person's child I was holding, I won't say who they were. But it was someone that I grew up watching on TV. And his other half is friends with my sister-in-law. So I end up holding his kid. He's on the radio now. Like he's doing good. His career's fade solid. Yeah, I was holding his child. Which was like just kind of like one of those odd moments. But yeah, lovely kid though. Very content child. Didn't cry once. Didn't try to get out of my hands either. Unlike my kids. My kids have been trying to climb on the track or I wanna drive the go-kart. That'd be Zadie. I wanna drive the go-kart. Just like Zadie, you cannot operate a machine of this size. That's why they weren't invited. And then what I do? So I'm now in the final week of March. Ow! So if 20th is when I recorded, I would have naturally tried to record it on 27th, but I couldn't have done because I would have been too busy at work. Then the weekend I wouldn't have recorded. Why? Because I was solo parenting. Naomi had gone to New York. She'd gone to New York for 4 nights over Easter. So it's me and the kid Aroonies. And tell you what, now I've done solo parenting. I understand. I've got to admit here now to all the single mums, all the single dads, all the people just doing it on their own. Solo parenting is fucking easy. It's easy. It's only your rules they have to abide by. That's the bit that makes parenting hard for me. Me as a secondary parent. As an assistant parent. See, my wife's director of parenting. I'm assistant parent. And when the boss is out, it's an easy day at work, isn't it? And that's all it was. I won't ignore the fact that there was quite a bit of food prepared in the fridge and in the freezer. That made life easier. I did make my children food, though. Maybe out of the 4 days, maybe 3 or 4 times. But there's other days where I just picked stuff out of the freezer that Naomi had made. Yeah, my mum did come round, and my sister and my niece, they did come round for 2 of the nights as well. But look, it was easy. Solo parenting is easy. That's how you got to do it, people. Now, let's be fair, there's not actually that many true solo parents. Even like your single mum's deadbeat baby dad out of the picture from before the baby's born tends to have like a mum, to have a sister, to have a best friend. It takes a village, is what I'm saying. It takes a village. Some of these people have just flipping useless husbands. Proper useless. Like, some people really making a fuss about it, that Naomi went away for a weekend. It's like, well, what? She's gone away for the weekend? Who's the kids with? Like, me, their dad. Who else is going to be with? But yeah, speaking to people, I really understood. Some people just like, nah, this wouldn't happen. Not a chance. The kids would have to go with her. That's like, nah, come on now. And I don't even think I'm good or amazing. Obviously, when I'm having an argument with Naomi, I drop the names of her friends' other halves who she's moaned, who I know that her friends have moaned about. Of course I drop their names. Darren, you're always up. Yeah, well, at least I'm not there. Throw them right under the bus. Yeah, well, at least I'm not there. And she's just like, well, I'm not with so-and-so. Like, okay. Appreciate that then, innit? And while she was away, I did have one gig. Went up to Ely. That was fun. Fun gig in Ely. And then it was Easter. Easter Monday. Recorded Late Nights and Wet Wipes. So those are the episodes that will be coming out this week and next week. A lot of energy in the room that day because we didn't record it at 9 p.m. for once. We recorded it at 10 a.m. And whew, way easy to record a podcast at that time. Like, you're awake for one. So yeah, it's good. Then I think we're almost right up to now. Then MC'd at West End Comedy Club on Thursday. Friday, took my car in for a service. Got an electric car as a courtesy car. Never driven a whole electric car before. My car's a hybrid, but a whole electric car. Tell you what, they are fun to drive. It's because I'm not a gearhead, right? Like, I passed manual license, but automatic. I've only driven automatics. I'm not someone who needs to feel the gears. I need to feel the car that I'm driving. I'm not that guy. I like to get in my car, go from A to B. I'm telling you, if the technology lasts for 10 years where I don't actually have to touch the steering wheel or the pedals, like, it'll just auto-drive me home and will not just, like, career me into a wall. Like, I haven't got a software update. You know what I mean? I've only got the map 17.8. And it's like, oh, there's a patch update. It's actually 17.9 I needed for my journey. And now what used to be a left-hand turn is now a wall. Is now a bridge. And I've just gone off. Yeah, I mean, it used to be a straight road. That's a flyover. I can't have that shit. But if the technology becomes, like, so good and reliable, I'll be one of the first. Well, I won't be one of the first. I'll be one of the first people of the year 10 to be getting it. I'll adopt that. So I don't need to feel gears. And so driving an electric car, which is another thing that out of my head. It's so many automatic features. It's like automatic braking. That's way more intuitive than my car. My car will have my face in the steering wheel because it thinks there's an obstacle in the way. But no, it's good. Acceleration, quick. No noise, though. You just hear, you really put your foot down, you hear a little wham. This is fun. But it's a fun drive. It's just I didn't have to fill it up with electric. Now charge it. That's the bit that I'll find weird. But yeah. I ain't mad at these electric cars. And if we can get our driveway done and get money to do the driveway, then it becomes, getting an electric car becomes a bit more feasible. I mean, guess where the current is a driver, you could put it there, but anyway. That's boring for you guys. And then this weekend, Saturday, I was up in the Northwest. I was in Manchester and then Warrington doing a double header. And Manchester was good. Warrington, by my standards, felt like a stinker, but it actually wasn't a stinker. It was fine. Interesting trip in the sense of the train between Manchester and Warrington. Because it's like, you know, we've got stereotypes about a place. So you ever walk around Manchester? Manchester just has beautiful women walking around. Beautiful women. It's just fun to look at. And it's a very quirky and cool city as well. So, different types of women, right? So you have like your kind of made up, dolled up women like that. They have like your kind of goth women, but they're still very pretty. And you have like, you know what I mean? It's just like your kind of alternative people, black girls with like crazy nose and ear piercings. And it's just a cool, see, everyone's cool in Manchester. That's what it is. Manchester's cool. So very well put together women. And then get on the train from Manchester to Warrington, and I'm next to three women. It didn't make sense. One was so smashed that I was like, did she go out drinking on her own? Because the other two were not that smashed. I couldn't even tell. The only reason I could tell the drugs, their faces were so red, but she was smashed. Now, granted, when I got into this carriage, my immediate thought, before I saw these girls, was, oh, it's a bit fragrant in here. And then they came on one with, oh, stinks of BO. That's more of a Yorkshire accent. What's Manchester? Manchester, money on the map, rude boy. That's a rude boy Manchester accent. Who's from Manchester? That's more, say softer, that's it. That's more of a Manchester accent. Yeah. So it's like, stinks of BO. And that was awkward. My friend's going, shut up. And then she goes, it reminds me of a steak bake. And I was like, that's what I thought. I couldn't tell the difference if it was BO or a steak bake. It was that deep, the BO smell. And then she's like, I'm so hungry. She's like, the thought of food makes you want to throw up, but I want a Greggs. And I think it's because it stinks of steak bake in it. And I was laughing to myself. And then this girl just goes to one of her friends, goes, why have you and I just never just, you know, just smashed tits? And she's like, oh my God, shut up. The soberish one, shut up. I said, no, just like, I think me and you can make some really good big tit porn. And then the other one's like, oh, so am I left out then? And then she's like, oh, you can be the cameraman if you want. They're funny. They're hammered, but they were funny. And then she's talking about the guy she was seeing, who for his birthday wanted to be sucked off. She's like, "Oh, like we're not even together. We don't even see each other." I was like, "No, you can suck your own dick. I ain't sucking your dick for your birthday." And in my head, I was like, "I mean, if you've done it already, just do it." Then we got off. Got off at Warrington, then did my gig, then met McDonald's, and I stayed in a travel lodge. Travel lodges just never get any better or any worse. They don't. It's so funny, the amount of travel lodges I've stayed in, where it's like, new refurbished, don't touch the walls, fresh paint. Yeah, we just redid the hotel. We just redid the first and second floor. Luckily, your room's on the second floor. And then you're like, oh, sweet. And then you walk down there. It's like, okay. Like, I don't. What have they refurbed here? What does this look like before? And you get into your room. It's like, looks like there's any travel lodge. Maybe clean the carpets. And then one I would say that yesterday, that was not a refurbed one. They didn't even have security cameras in the hotel. Only in the lobby bit on the reception. Once you got past those doors, you could just murder as much as you want. I got into my room and I was like, this looks like the refurbed room. It's exactly the same. Exactly the same. And yeah. Fun times up there though. Then back down here, and it's Monday. It's the 8th. I'm recording, sunny day, the sun's out, waking up to sunlight, leaving work, sunlight, trying to put the kids to bed, and it's sunlight. Zadie's like, it's not night time yet. He's like, it's bedtime, no? I feel like a liar, closing the curtains, blackout curtains, shutting the blinds, closing the curtains. It's bedtime, it's night time. It clearly isn't, the sun is out, what a wonderful day. But that's what's been going on. in my life. Any other exciting news? I've got a meeting. Now, this is too much information, but do what? This is what my pod is. It's a diary. It's a journal. I've got a meeting, well, a request for a meeting with a production company for my pitch document that I drafted. That's based on my show, Inconceivable. So I now have to draft a scene to actually give them an idea of my writing style and the dialogue and how funny I am written down. Because they like the premise, but they said maybe too much drama. A lot of TV companies are looking for just straight up comedy. So I think the show has a lot of comedy in it, but I know it's hard to extract that from the pitch document. So if I just write a scene, let's see where it goes. But early stages with that, very early stages. Am I winning a BAFTA next year? No. But we'll see, guys. So that's good. Yeah, so that's my life that's been updated. What's been going on in the world? As of today, I know Israel just withdrew troops out of Gaza, which is a big step. Why they're doing it, don't know yet, but we'll sure find out. It's good though. It's good because this is my view on the whole Israel, Gaza, Israel, Hamas, Israel, Palestine thing. Is this is the short story is I want Israel to stop bombing the shit out of Gazans. The long story is I want Israel to stop bombing the shit out of the Gazans. Because that's the right thing to do, because a lot of innocent people are dying. And then what I would like is Netanyahu and the people on the right who don't want a two-state solution to fuck off. I want Hamas and all the other crazy fundamentalists that are in government in Palestine, Gaza specifically, to fuck off. And then have the people who live there, who want to live in harmony with each other and coexist, to come to the table and try to find a two-state solution and an agreement that each other's life is equal and mutual survival is a key thing for everyone in that region. And I would want that to be mediated by an external party who's truly independent and isn't there to make money from the military industrial complex selling weapons and munitions to both sides of the conflict. That's a long version of it. But the short version is, I'd like Israel to bomb the shit out of Palestine, right? And you got to make sure you agree with people for the right reasons, because you could be saying, hey, I want Israel to bomb the shit out of Palestine, and someone else like, yeah, me too. And then they whisper in your ear, and fuck the Jews. It's like, no, that is not what I said. And you're there walking around with placards going, yeah, pro-Palestine. And this guy next to you goes, and anti-Israel, am I right? It's like, dude, stop this, please. It's like, that's not what we're here for. So you got to make sure you agree with the right people. But yeah, man. And that's what I'm saying about you need to weed out all of those characters. Because one, you know, anti-Semitic stereotype is how sneaky Jews are. But do you know who else is sneaky? Anti-Semites. Very sneaky. The sneakiest. Because you can shroud your anti-Semitic views in very intellectual things. But it seeps out. There's a lot of prejudice, right? Remember someone saying to me, I said sixth form, nothing scarier than an educated bigot, an intelligent bigot, because they will make their points and they'll be smart enough to not actually say who their point is about or why they're making that point. They'll give you a palatable reason for you to agree with their position, but then their motivation is something so nefarious. You know? So when you listen to something on the internet and you're like, oh, I agree with this, don't just be like, this guy knows what he's talking about. Go, wait. What is his motivation for saying this stuff? Yeah, I agree with it, but what's his motivation for saying this? I need to know. You know, like the motivation could be,
you know, let me think of one. Okay, women shouldn't be paid the same as men when it comes to elite sport. Like, let's say football. Let's talk about football specifics. I know football. Now, my reason for that is because the women's game doesn't generate enough money to pay them what the same as men. You see, it's capitalism. It's commercial. The amount of money generated by men's football, some that has to go to the players. Simple as that. The owners make shed loads of money. So everyone's making money from the men's game. The reason is a lot of men watch men's football. Whereas women's football doesn't have that much viewership. It is a younger sport. So it's going to take time. You can't match what the men have been paid. And plus, where are you funding that from if you're not actually making the money? Plus, not enough women watch women's football. There's a lot of women in the world and they don't want to watch women's football. That's a Bill Burr joke. Go find that Bill Burr joke. Fantastic joke. About what women actually want to watch is, you know, the real house bitches of whatever city. Yeah, that's what they really want. They want to watch women just tearing each other apart. They don't want to watch sport. So they need to stop trying to force men to watch women's sport. Now, if that's your reason why women should get paid the same as men, I'm like, yeah, agreed. But similarly, you might be a guy going, women should be paid the same as men. Why? Because they're whores? He's like, pardon? How did we get here? They should be in the kitchen. It's like, dude, that is not what I was saying. You know what I mean? You've got to make sure people are motivated by the same things as you. Get caught. Crazy associations out there. Crazy associations. So that's been going on in the world. What else has been going on? Trying to think. Not sure if I actually picked up on anything else happening. I tell you what, it's flipping hot in this car. I might have to crack a window. Let's crack a, let's just get the electrics on. You don't know me, alright, we don't need the whole engine on, do we? Don't be dramatic, mate. Don't be dramatic. Fuck it up. Right, a little bit of breeze. There you go. You're going to have a bit of noise in the background, but I need to not die. You know, when people leave a baby or a dog in the car. Please note I said baby before dog. Sorry if I burp on the pod. I'm drinking a can of Diet Coke. Thought it'd cool me down, but the can just heated up. And I've got full sweat beads on my head now. I'm looking mad fat. Yeah, when people leave, like, pets or human pets, kids in the car, yeah, it's just, I've been in the car for, how long have we been talking for, I don't know, but, yeah, they don't have a chance of surviving. Sweltering day. It's not even clear skies either, it's that muggy, you can feel the pollen in the air type weather, you know them ones. I can't even check what's going on in the world because I have no mobile data. Because me, like a prick, the monitor I use to monitor my kids is Wi-Fi, it's internet, yeah. You have the sound running in the background. So those are your three sound settings: mute, audio when you're in the app, and audio running in the background. So even when you're not in the app, so you know, you can be playing on your phone. Oh, you hear a cry. Oh, let me check the app. If you don't have that setting, you won't hear the cry unless you're in the app. So good setting to have. Problem being is I'm very bad at closing apps. I just close my phone. And a few days, well, earlier in the month, I remember just hearing a woman talking. I was away from home and I could just hear this woman's voice. I was like, am I hearing things? And then I thought, wait, that sounds like Naomi. And then I realised, shit. Zavi's monitor's just been running in the background on my phone. It had used, when I looked at my mobile data usage, 3.6 gigabyte of data used by this flipping app. Of mobile data. Because I've just been driving around, just playing the audio of an empty bedroom. Beautiful. So I've got no mobile data until tomorrow. So I'm not paying for it. I'm going to just go rural, Bear Grylls. No mobile data for 2 days. And I've survived, guys. I've survived. It's been a tough world, just hopping between Wi-Fi hotspots. It's people don't know my struggle. They don't know it. They don't know my struggle, man. look, I don't have any... I don't have anything else to say from the news. I said I can't check the news. I thought I'm not going to be able to check Dear Deirdre. Then I realised I have my work phone to check Dear Deirdre, which also means that I have my work phone to check what is going on in the world. So let's have a quick look. Let's go. BBC News. That's a reputable website. BBC News. Hardly anything left. Palestinians return to Khan Yunus as troops leave city. That is horrible to read. Germany faces genocide case over Israel weapons sales. God damn. Germany's record with genocide. It's not great, is it? The irony is because of what they did in World War II. They don't want ever to be seen to be doing anything that's against Jewish people. Israel being a Jewish state, they're like, well, I ain't anti-Semitic. Whatever Israel want to do, we'll back it. It's like they've just caused genocide. What? They're like, shit. But were we anti-Semitic? No, that was the priority. Hardest geezer, he's finished the walk of Africa. That is wild. That is pure white man behavior. This guy, he ran from north to south, the whole continent of Africa. He ran the length of Africa. Mad. After complications with visas, health scares, geopolitical issues and the armed robbery, Russell Cook, nicknamed Hardest Geezer, crossed the finish line in Tunisia on Sunday. Oh, he ran from south to north, sorry. After 352 days. So he did it in under a year. Strong. The 27-year-old from Worthing, West Sussex, has raised more than £775,000 for charity. It deserves more. Speaking to the BBC, he said, I've scratched the itch for a while, but I wouldn't be surprised if I start planning more things pretty soon. Jesus Christ, he's keen to chill out with his family. Alright, cool. When he says family, he cannot have kids. The extreme challenge against South Africa's most southern point on 22nd of April 2023 and finished more than 10,000 miles, that's 16,400 kilometers north in Tunisia. He had originally planned to complete the equivalent of 360 marathons in 240 days, but extended the challenge due to complications. Oh, dear, man. That's just flipping mad, isn't it? So, he had to go through Sahara sandstorms. He said the scariest moment was in Congo. The guy is nuts. So we understand about this guy. This guy is not just white. He's ginger. A ginger white running through across Africa. Me as a black person, I just wouldn't even attempt that challenge. I'm not built for that, son. You know what I mean? I've got colonized blood running through my veins. I would perish in that heat. Alright, let's see. J. Cole apologises for Kendrick Lamar diss track. My friend, what are you doing? So titled 7-Minute Drill. Cole's song was a reply to Lamar's verse on the hit. Oh shit, I need to find that. Then he's apologised for it. Why? What has he said? Um, So it's unusual but not unheard of for rappers to retract a diss track after their release. In fact, this isn't even Cole's first brushes phenomenon. In 2021, at the start of Cole's career, veteran New York rapper MC Cannabis released a song called J Clone, accusing the up-and-coming rapper of disrespect. Before 8 hours, he posted an apology saying, "Hip hop has spoken up loud and clear, and it's a Cole world right now. You're the reigning champ." Okay, what did Cole say? No, man, but well, I need to find 7 minute drill before it's removed, because I think he's with Jay-Z, so they get that shit pulled down real quick. So I need to find that before they just disappears forever. Anyway, let's see what else is there. State pension. Playing an autistic character helped me unmask myself. Guys, TV suggestion. Free Body Problem. I've watched that. Here's the thing, though. If you're someone who doesn't like shows ending with no hard conclusion, don't watch this. I haven't suggested it to Naomi because, one, she does like sci-fi, and two, if she saw this ending, she would throw acid in my face. I swear to God, she would melt down. Because I'm someone who can accept an open ending, and even though I was like, well, no. Fucking no. E-bike explodes at London Railway Station. Okay, this is mad. E-bikes and e-scooter fires are the capital's fastest growing fire risk. Jeez. Because nicely, if you guys know, I work in property development, that's one of those things that it's come up in building regs now by putting charging points. Can't put them underground. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's it. There's nothing really pressing in the world. Celebrity gossip. Not going to look for it. Vinicius Jr. still being flipping attacked by racists. Do what it is with Vinicius. It's because he's not the victim blame, but he's dealt with it in the worst way. He's dealt with it in the way of, because in football, there's two ways you can go when you're a black footballer when it comes to racism. Either appear completely unfazed by it, or be an absolute wind up merchant prick about it. So I can't give you examples of black players unfazed because they didn't do anything. They just didn't mention it. They talk about it in retrospect in their career. And then you got your shithouse players like Eto'o. I remember Eto'o was getting monkey chance in the game. What did this man do? Bangs in the hat trick. I can't remember which game it was, and he ran down the touchline dancing like a monkey in front of the away fans. And they lost their mind. You know what I mean? Frothing at the mouth. And he's just like, yeah, go fuck yourself. That's what you got to do. That way or the other way. What Vinicius does is he lets the racist know it affects him. And then he cries. And I'm not dissing him for that. Like, you're a human being. We process these things differently, right? You know? But I feel like that comes from this kind of... what's the word? You know, that desperate for that kind of white love. That's where that upset comes from. You know what I mean? This comes from someone who's got, like I said, everyone knows, he's got a lot of white friends and people are classed as family. That's how close we are. And I accept that not everyone's going to like me. Maybe it'd be different if it was like, you know, 60,000 people being racist. But I don't know. There's a part of me to be like, yeah? All right, let's see what happens. Even if I don't win, I am going to break your favourite player in your team. He's going to get it. You know what I mean? Even if I get a red card, your friend's coming off stretchered, folded. So, it's, you know what I mean? So they're coming with me. But you can't just react with sadness. It's just you're in a position of weakness, and from then on, it's crazy. It's like anything you tell your kids about, like bullies. If your kid's being bullied, you either say ignore it, don't rise to it, or you like deal with that. What do you mean deal with it? The teacher said you can't hit. I'm telling you, break his fucking face. Fight him. But you can't be like, stop saying horrible things to me, and then cry, because they're like, oh, I'm eating all day. Anyway, let's go. Let's get into Dear Deirdre. Dear Deirdre, my feelings for my daughter-in-law's older sister are leaving me confused, although she's not blood relative. Let's see. Let's do the maths quickly. Let's do the maths before we dismiss this or condone it. Your daughter-in-law's older sister. So, let me do this. So, daughter-in-law, so that's... I've got to do it with my own kids, so they're all older now. Xavi gets married. I've left my wife. He gets married. I want to date his wife's sister. Xavi and the woman have kids. That's my grandkids. That's my grandkids, and that's my love interests, nieces and nephews. If we were to have, that's always the thing, if we were to have a kid, let's assume, because that's always the fear. So let's say we were to have a kid, then that kid will be Xavi's brother, let's say it's a boy, Xavi's brother. It'd be his wife's brother-in-law and nephew. Right. It's not actually that mad. It's not that mad. Because still it is. It doesn't create... what does it make the kids? Sorry. There you go. I stopped it there. The kids... It will make the kids... So my kid would be Xavi's kid's uncle. And also... cousin. Uncle on one side. Cousin on the other. It's not that mad. It's not that mad. It's not great, but it's not the worst I've heard. So now it's about, is it actually worth it? Let's see. I'm developing feelings for my daughter-in-law's older sister. Let's see about the age gap as well. I have become very friendly with her, but I know nothing can happen between us. Are you just a weird old man? Let's see. I'm 57 and married. Oh, you're married. Oh, dickhead. Dickhead. You know what I mean? I thought you were single, like you're divorced, and you're just some old man who's got a good looking woman talking to you. Now your dick's got hard and you've gone stupid. Anyway, I'm 57. I'm married. My wife is 55. We are very proud of our daughter-in-law, to have our daughter-in-law in our lives. She's 29. All right, calm it down, big man. 28 years between you. My daughter-in-law has a sister who's... Oh, sorry. He's 33, so it's now 33, 24 years. All right. And I've become very friendly with her, spending hours talking about our mutual interests. I'd love to get close to her, but I know it would be frowned upon. So I'm wondering if it is possible to just be friendly without having an affair. Probably not, mate, if that's what's in your brain. I mean, ignoring the fact that she has a say in this, she might find you a stupid old man. She thought you was fun to hang out with. Now she knows you fancy her, she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? She's not blood relative, but I can't work out what she is in relation to me. I know there are various ways to love. You can love someone like a brother or a sister. Or you can love someone because they have a great personality. Or tits. Or because you like the way they dance or laugh with their tits out. I am not having an affair. I'm just confused. This sounds actually quite innocent. Do what it is. I think you get on with this woman and she's hot. And that's what's frying your brain a little bit. Yeah? You get on with her and she's hot. And that's difficult to process. So just don't try it on with her. It's okay for you to acknowledge she's attractive. You don't have to bone her because she's attractive. That's totally fine. But when it comes to attraction, you need to be objective about it. Yeah? I don't know. You've got to have some principles, ain't you? You've got to have some lines. Like for me, so if I was to meet someone I've never met before, I'm single, and they're attractive, I'm like, oh, she's fit. And then someone goes, oh, so see, you've met your cousin. I'm like, oh, fucking hell. My cousin's fit. And that's it. It just stays there. Just like, oh, she's an attractive woman. Yeah, then I changed my wording of it. Now she's my cousin. No one knows. She stops being fit. She's just, yeah, she's an attractive woman. And there's the thing of, right, I don't really need to say it. It's just a fact that's just there. I don't see each time I see it, oh, you look nice. Yeah, you know. You know what I mean? What is that? So, that's what it should be with this. You just set a boundary in your head. Go, oh, that's my daughter-in-law, who's like a daughter to me. That's her sister, so she'd be like a kid to you. And yeah, she's an attractive girl. Because of that, I hope to see her settle down with someone who's worthy. That's the line. That's where your thoughts should be, I think. Especially when you've got the age gap and stuff, aren't they? Oh, this is fun. Okay. See, women make me laugh. The ego in this one. The ego and insecurity. Seeing red. I am blonde and I've just discovered my husband's porn obsession with redheads. Although he hasn't had an affair, it feels like he's cheated. My husband is obsessed with redheads, but I'm a blonde. So what do you want him to be just wanking over blondes? Because then it's still not you. I don't get it. I discovered he looks at photos of red-headed women and watches porn videos featuring them. We've been married for 10 years and have two young children. I'm 40 and he's 42. I discovered his fetish when I went into his laptop photo app to find a family picture he'd taken. There were hundreds of photos of strange women. Do you mean just redheads? Or strangers? Or were they strange because they have red hair? I looked at his browsing history and found the porn too. The porn. I confronted him and he said he didn't know why he'd done it. He does know. He thinks they're fit. That's it. And because your reaction is so big and mental, he's just like, he doesn't know how to answer. He's like, oh, fuck. I don't know. I don't know. I'll break my laptop. He's lost all composure. What he should have said is, okay, one, just ask you the photos you're looking for. And two, yeah, I was wanking over women. And what? What do you want them to look like? You want to decide to have a wank over? You just got to be just really arrogant. And then just apologize about the arrogance. You do something else to move it away from the main offense. And then you apologize for your reaction and actions around the offense. Never apologising for the offence. That's what you do. Really arrogant about wanking. Say you used her expensive creams. And then you just apologise for using the expensive creams and being arrogant. He swore he loved me and they thought I was beautiful and that he would stop. Should never say he stopped. Although he hasn't had an affair, it feels like he's cheated. When we have sex, I now imagine he's thinking about women with red hair. It's making me feel ugly and unwanted. Why is he with me if the women he is attracted to look nothing like me? I'm now paranoid whenever we're out together and a redhead walks past. Can we get past this? By the way, don't make me laugh because I know a lot of my listeners are black. This hair thing is like white people's colorism. So to translate it to you, this is... She's blonde. So the mirror of that is a light-skinned black woman. Light-skinned black woman. And I guess brunettes are middle tone and ginger would be dark skin equivalent, I guess. Especially if you're Irish as well, because that's like a real atypical look of someone from that ethnicity. So this is a light skin, we'll find out that this guy just watches pure dark skin porn. Bare dark skin with his hard drive. And because she hasn't given any indication that she thinks ginger women are ugly or anything. It's just they don't look like her. And what makes you laugh is, Grant, there's a lot of guys that have weird, that have like, you know, very specific types. But most guys I know just like good looking women. They might have a preference when it comes to race as a general, but shade, no. Hair colour, no. So, yeah, it's not that far out of the realms of possibility that a man who likes blonde women also likes ginger women. Like, just dye your hair. Have you tried that? Just dye your hair. So yeah, it's crazy. He just likes the look of the woman. That's all. What does it mean? I don't know. He's gonna smash a redhead, maybe. I don't know. Ask him. Ask him. Has he ever got with a redhead before? Ask him if he ever got with a redhead before. And then from his reaction, you can tell how worried you need to be. If he says no, I haven't actually. That's a worrying thing. No, he hasn't. Oh. Do you want to? If he takes a pause of any sort, and his face shows a little bit of excitement as if to go, you've got a redhead around the corner ready to suck him off. Then he's like, alright, this is a bigger problem than I thought it was. But he might be like, no, that's fine. I'm attractive. You just found my redhead folder. And he just shows you all the other folders he's got. Let's see if that makes you feel better. Anyway, last one. Which one? This is funny. We're doing the in-law stuff. Brilliant. All right, make it stop. I don't want to be left alone with my flirty and touchy mother-in-law. She went so far to say my wife didn't deserve me. God damn. You know them ones where you just walk into familial warfare. This is before your time, my friend. This beef started when your wife was like 9 years old. And she said that she loves daddy more than mum. And from that day forth, that woman, your mother-in-law, is like, fuck this bitch. See what I mean? My nose on. She's divorced from the husband. It's like, it's her fault. She's that crazy woman. Let's see. My mother-in-law is flirting with me and I don't know how to make it stop. I've been married to a daughter for 10 years. Jesus. Recently, my wife's parents separated due to my father-in-law having an affair. There it is. And since then, my mum-in-law's behaviour has changed. My wife and I decided to spend more time with her mum, dropping in on her more regularly to try and keep her busy. My wife even encouraged me to drop food and treats off on my way home from work. God damn. Is the mum fit, though? That's the issue. Is she actually fit? I mean, you are married to this woman, so this woman is going to be your kid's grandmother. So that does change things. Have I ever been with anyone who's got like just a proper fit mum? I don't think I have. We have girls whose like mums are, you know, pretty. You can tell they're a looker in the day. They're pretty for their age. You know what I mean? It's all that kind of caveat to it. There's never been an absolute smoke show of a woman. He's like, hi, I'm so-and-so's mum. And he's like, God fucking damn. It's not like none of my mates' mums be like that. I've had people I've played in football teams with and stuff where it's like, is that your mum? Fucking hell. Yeah, I don't know how I'd cope if that was someone's mum putting it on me. There you go. She even encouraged me to drop food and treats on my way home from work. But all the hugging and touching has put me right off. But how touchy is she, though? I started to make excuses to avoid being left alone with her. She started off saying how well I looked, and then she complimented my dress sense, always using it as an excuse to pat me. Is it a pat and stroke? And she complimented your smell as well. That's why. She complimented your smell and gives you a pattern stroke. Oh, that's a nice shirt. And then just runs her hand from your shoulder down to your waist. I just wanted to feel if it was all the same material. Now she's running her hand round the back of your shoulder, down your back. Oh, a bit of your shirt's not tucked in. She's tucking it in for you. Let me just tuck it right round. Starts from the bum, tucks it in right in front of your balls. See, your shirt's tucked in now. if that's the case, my friend, you just got to say, I'm never coming here again. Let's see. Always easy to point to pat me. Then the hugs became lingering holds, and she even rubbed my back a few times. Mate, I think you need to calm down. That's what I think needs to happen here. You've watched too much porn, my friend. She hugged you and patted you. Last time, I agreed to go round and fix her internet connection, and she started caressing my head and giving me a meaningful look. God damn. All right, now it's getting strong. It's getting strong. Caressing your head and a meaningful look. I don't know what to, say, my friend. She's clearly not hot. I need you to tell me if you find her attractive or not. This is what I need to hear. I couldn't bear it any longer and asked her to stop, and she brushed it off saying it was an accident. Since then, I've avoided her and she started badgering me by text. Now I'm thinking of blocking her number in order to get some space. That is mad. Blocking your mother-in-law and not telling your wife why. My mom said she tried to ring you. She's in the room with you. Yeah, I'm ringing him now. Your phone's just dead. She's like, I don't know, he's not ringing. I don't know how to solve this issue. We'd always enjoyed a good relationship. She even sided with me when my wife and I had issues a few years ago. She went so far as to say my wife didn't deserve me. How can I get a mother-in-law to stop this behaviour without breaking her heart more than it already has been? I don't know, man. Maybe you've got to do the right thing and bang. You know? It doesn't feel like the right thing to do, but that might be the right thing to do. Because she's lonely. And she doesn't deserve to be lonely. So I think that's what you need to do. Alright? Is bang her. No, don't. Tell your wife though. You've got to tell your wife. I don't know how you tell your wife, but you tell your wife and say, I don't know how to tell you this. I don't really want you to get mad at your mum. I think your mum might be going through something. Bring it up to your wife, but be mad, sympathetic, and on side of your mother-in-law. I'm not telling you this to piss you off. I'm not telling you this to cut your mum out. I want you to be able to help your mum. I think she's just going through some shit. You got to go like that. Because if it comes out any other way, and your wife's like, what? You look crazy. So that's what you need to do. Tell your wife, but be very sympathetic to your mother-in-law. Right, I think that's it. I think that's the end of the pod. I think I've been speaking for over an hour. I think I've given you your money's worth of free podcasts. Yeah, 58 minutes. Yes, with my show, Inconceivable, update on that. I still haven't got the long edit back yet. Should we get back soon? Had an idea suggested to me that I should do like a live screening of it when it's first ready. No, when it's fully ready. Before I release it onto YouTube. Do a live screening. Let me know. Let me know if that would be a good idea to do. DM me that. I think that'd be a good idea to do. A live screening. For all the people who didn't get to come and see it. Because you're going to go see it on YouTube anyway. That's the thing. So, Travis J did it for one of his shows. The live screen and the Q&A at the end. So, that's where you get your money's worth. Wouldn't charge a lot for it. Wouldn't even need a big space. Right, it's a cool little place, maybe with a room and a bar of some sort, and that's it. If you can do it like that. Anyway, that's the end of the pod. Nailed it. I need to get back and do some things. Alright, see you later, people. Peace.